Okay, Perek Dalet of Rus. We just finished off last time at the end of Perek Gimel, where Boaz had promised Rus that he was going to sort it all out that day as to who was going to perform the Yibum. And if you remember last time, we explained that Yibum doesn't mean literal in the most literal sense, because Rus, according to most, at least we'll see today, there is one other opinion, but according to most, Rus and Machlon were never actually really married because she had not converted at that point. So therefore it was more, as the Nesivos explains, it was more, if you want, a spiritual Yibum, in as much as it was to bring out the Nefesh of Machlon, which was still, as they put it, rattling around in the body of Rus, and it was to bring it back out in the form of Oved, and then eventually to David HaMelech. And that's what it means by Yibum. We'll see today, Be'ez Hashem, towards the end of the parak, we'll, if there's time, we'll discuss a bit more the some deeper understanding in the whole thing of Yibum, especially in this case, and then we'll see with Yehudah and Tamar.
See, Ruth
Nachman
weren't married.
No.
Because she wasn't Jewish.
Yeah, correct. We'll see at the end, I mean, I'll bring it, just because at the end we'll see, I'll discuss the Ralbag. The Ralbag seems to have taken on, she had already converted at that point. So we'll see.
Anyway, because he was Jewish, since they have a Neshama anyway.
Nachman was, yeah, but Rus, look at the question. No, the question
was Jewish,
Rus.
Maybe still bring the Neshama out.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. That's definitely, yeah. That's definitely the case there. Okay, so Posik Halef. Uvayaz ono hashar, and Boaz, he went up to the, literally to the gate, which means the Sanhedrin. Vayeshev Shom, and he sat down there. He was about to send off his shliach based him to invite the Goel, who was the Goel we know as Tov, right? It was the brother of Elimelech. He was going to invite him to decide, do you want to do Yibum or not? Vehine ha Goel over, and behold, as the Malbim says, the word Vehine, we had it earlier, it was in Perek Beis, I think it was. That Vihine implies something which was unusual, out of the ordinary. In other words, the Goel, this Goel, Tov, didn't normally pass by, he didn't normally walk this way, but Hashem decided to rearrange things for the sake of Boaz. Before he actually got to send for him, behold, the Goel was passing by. Asher Diver Boaz. Literally, it means the Goel who Boaz had spoken about, which the Malbim explains. He says that because Boaz had spoken about him, because Boaz had planned to go and asked for him to come to the Beis Din, to the Sanhedrin, so Hashem arranged it all for him. And because of that, the girl happened to be passing by. Vayomer, and he said, Surah, that's Boaz said to the girl, Surah, turn off the path, in other words, don't continue on. Shavapo, sit down over here. Peloni Almoni, he calls him Peloni Almoni. Right, which I'll explain in a minute what that is. It doesn't say his name here. Vayosar, and he turned off the path. Vayeshev, and he sat down. Now Rashi says, what's the name Peloni Almoni? Right? We often find the Gemara referred to Peloni, means somebody, right? Where does the word Peloni come from? So Rashi says the word Peloni means Pele, right? It means something Nifla, something which is hidden. Obviously his name is hidden, it doesn't say his name here. Almoni, what does Almoni mean? It means it comes from the expression of an Almono, somebody who's a widow, right? A widower, in other words, he was a widow of his name. He, so to speak, lost his name. The Megillah doesn't say his name over here. Another pshat Rashi offers is that he was a widow of Torah. Because as we're going to see in the next few psukim, he refuses to do Yibum because he says, Yibum to Rus, she's a Moabite. Moabite, she can't convert. Which means he was an Almon from Torah. He was a widow of Torah. He was not knowledgeable because, as we're going to see, the Hadacha is that a Moabite woman can convert. The Malbim also goes along the same sort of lines, that Peloni is a Roshan of, he says, is comes from the Pasuk, Lefali Neda, which is an utterance of the lips, right? But he says what Lefali Neda means, it's an expression of your free will, right? And he says Almoni comes from Ma'alumim Alumim, is an expression of Kesha, to be tied, right? Binding up. So therefore he was saying, he called him, Peloni Almoni, come here, you've got a Kesha, you're associated, you've got an association to this, you are Shayach to this situation. And use your free will, use your Bechira to decide how you're going to proceed. Are you going to do Yibum, are you not? Okay, that's the various explanations of what Peloni Almoni is. But the truth is, why doesn't it write his name? So Rashi says, because since he didn't want to do the Yibum, therefore we don't write his name. Right, so one of the Pshatim is, I think the Bali Tosfos would say, so as not to embarrass him. Right, because especially as he was a bit ignorant in this din of Me'ovi below Me'ovis. But the question is, so what's the point? It means you don't write his name. But if you look in, how many Pesukim earlier was it? About 5 Pesukim earlier or something like that. Perek Gimel, Posuk Yud Gimel. We told you who he was. Im Yigod Eich Tov. He writes his name here. So what are you gaining here by not writing his name in this? What, you're hoping we would have forgotten by now? But I think the answer is, it's perhaps a great lesson for life, is that you find other examples of this. Parshas Emor. Right, the end of the surgery, it talks about the Megadiv. Yeah? Only after it says what he'd done, it says the name of his mother, Vashem Emoi, Shlomis Bastibri, Lamati Don. Doesn't introduce him beforehand. Doesn't introduce his mother beforehand. After the Pasuk which says what he did, he argued by Yonot Malachan and he was Megadiv, he blasphemed. Then it says Vashem, by the way, the name of his mother was Shlomis Bastibri. Perhaps a better example to bring out at this point, and I'll explain this one theme which runs through all of them, is at the end of Parshas Balak. With Zimri, right, Cosby and Zimri. Right, when Zimri, he went off with the Moab, the whole thing there. So again, take a look there. It says, it does not say their names. We know, how do we know their names? Parshas Pinchas. So wait till the next Parsha. And I remember hearing this Ha'ara that I couldn't find it. I was looking to try and find the Pshat from Rabbi Avraham Fortune. He quotes it, I think it's from Chaim Shmuel Levitz. I don't know what he said, but I'm guessing that which answers all of these is like this. Yes, in yesterday's Haftorah, you'll find again something very interesting. Yesterday's Haftorah, Mochol Chodesh, right, was the thing with Yonatan and David. They made a system to let David know whether it was all over with Shaul. What was the system? They shoot arrows. If Shaul had finished with David, he said, "Don't worry, I'll shoot arrows and I'll tell him Hachitzim in Mochol Vahola." They're further on. You'll know from that, David. You'll know to go, right? The whole thing's an absolute pedo. What's pshat? Because he was. What did he suspect? They met up afterwards anyway. They met up and they departed from each other emotionally. So if he was suspecting that Shaul would get upset because he'd see what's going on, well then that wasn't too clever to meet up afterwards anyway. So what was the point of the arrows? The answer, I think, one answer. And that is, the Vilna Gaon speaks about this either by Hir or by Ochon. But there's one more question and then it answers all of them. That's by Ochon, you find exactly the same thing. What's that? Ochon, right in Yehoshua. Somebody in Klal Yisrael committed, said that in war they were losing men. So Yeshua went to Hashem and he said, what's my high, what's going on? So Hashem said, there's somebody in Klal Yisrael who's committed, it took from the forbidden spoils. So he said, who is it? So Hashem said, you think I'm going to tell you? So what should I do? He said, well, go get everyone together and we'll do it by the Choshev, by the Urim and Tumim, we'll single out. And it went, single out which tribe, then which family, etc. All and whittled it down eventually to Achan. So if you're going to do it by the Choshev anyway, so what have you gained? The answer is, the Vilna Gaon says that I'm not sure if, I can't remember now whether it's on the case of the Ochon, and I'm saying the other one, which one it is. But he says the answer is, even when it's mutter to speak Lashon Hara, and I'll go further than that, even when it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara, right? It's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara. They're both a Rodef, whether it was Shaul was a Rodef on David, however you understand that, but also Ochon was a Rodef on Klal Yisrael, people, they were losing men because of it. Nonetheless, he says, if you can do it indirectly, do it indirectly. Presuming the reason is because Kadoshim to you. Kadishat Puchob Bamash Mutalach. In other words, because if you get accustomed to speaking Lashon Hara, even though it's a mitzvah, but what's going to happen is in the end, you're going to, even when it's forbidden, you're going to come to speak Lashon Hara. In a similar vein, not quite the same, but in a similar vein, the same thing here. You're right, we know exactly who it is. But if you don't have to write it in the Pasuk, if you don't have to speak directly about who we're talking about, you can cover up a bit for him. Yes, we have to tell you who he is because there's various lessons we can learn from it. Right? In this case, I'm not sure what the lessons are by telling us who, but there's various lessons we can learn from it. So then, of course, we're going to tell you who he is, but not directly in the Pasuk when you're showing him up. Therefore, in these Pasukim, it says it earlier. Yes, of course you know, but same thing with Cosby and Zimri. Same thing, yes, they were sinners, and we're not talking about Apikorsan here, right? If Apikorsan is a mitzvah to be a Pharisee. But if not, so again, we'll tell you in the next Pasuk, when it's actually in the Maisel, when it's the most, if you want, the most degrading part of the Maisel, we don't tell you the name of the person. This is, if you want, you see how the Torah's outlook is, even when somebody is, they do an Aveira. And it, perhaps it's even Rishos, if you want. But still, he's Sof Kol Sof, as long as he's Bechlal HaMisech, he's still a Jew, cover up as much as you can. Sort of, and then perhaps that's what's going on over here.
Also, it was only ignorance on his part.
Yeah.
So it's not to be something.
So, exactly. Here it's even less, because it's not to be advised, 100%. Yeah. Right. Okay, Pasuk base. Vayikach asara anoshim, and Boaz took 10 men, Mizikne Ha'ir, from the elders of this city. Vayom, and he said, Shuvufo, sit down over here, Vayishiv, and they sat down. Now, why did he take 10 men? So the Poshup Shat, says the Malbim, is because somebody was going to get married today, right? Whether it was going to be Yibum with this girl, Tov, or whether it was going to be with Boaz, somebody was going to do Yibum today, and Rus was going to get married, so you need Berkas Chasamim. Right, it's the special brachas you say at a marriage, right? It's something called Birkas Chasanim, so you need 10 people for that. So that's why he took 10 men. The other Peshat he says is like this, because he wanted to tell them, he wanted to publicize the halacha that Amoni v'ra Amonis me'ovi v'lo me'ovis. He was now teaching them the halacha that a Moabite woman can convert. Now, says the Malbim, he dafka did it at this point. Had he waited, what would happen? He brings the Gemara, finding Kesubis, that we say that if a person, a Talmud Chochan, comes out with a new halacha, and he's affected personally by it, then you don't accept the halacha. Can you imagine had he come out, let's say, in 10 Pesukim time and said, I'm about to perform Yibam, and don't ask me how I can do that, because she's a Moabite. No, 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 there's a new halacha that a Moabite v'lo me'ovis. So everyone would have said, oh, yeah, right, right? He's like, yeah, but you want to marry us, that's why you're coming. So if he did it dafka at this point, at this juncture, before he was the one who had this this option, he said to Tov, you've got the option. I mean, it seems, I'm not sure what happened with why Pliny Armini didn't quite understand this, but he said, you should know that there is a halacha that a Moabite can convert, and therefore somebody can do Yibam. And therefore later on, if I decide to do it, it's a valid halacha. So that's why he took 10 men in order to publicize this halacha.
The Gemara discusses you need a minion for a chasna for Shabbat brachas. Yep. Chasna can be one of them. Now here he's taking ten
men other than right. Yeah, I'm not sure.
We're still not getting the talva on the halacha.
No, no, that's the halacha. The other pshat.
On the first pshat, because chasna, you need a minion.
Yeah, why should you need 10 separate men? Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. I mean, you can say there's both. If you want, you can say there's both kavanas in it. Yeah, it's good to hear it. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Vayemer la'goel, and he said to the goel, i.e. to Tov, Chelkas hasodeh asher le'ochinu le'elimelech, the portion of the field which is to our brother, to Elimelech, which the Ibn Ezra says, what do you mean the portion of the field, implying it's the part of the field? See, he says, he wants to say that Elimelech never owned a complete field. Which is obviously very difficult. The Malbim says he doesn't quite understand that. We're talking about Eli Melech was a big philanthropist. He owned a lot of property. What do you mean he had a See, he says, rather what it means is, we're talking about the portion of the field which belonged to Normi, as we see in the, as the passage continues. And what happened was that Normi and Rus came back and they split the field. Normi took half for her ksuba from Eli Melech, and Rus took half for her ksuba from Machla. Now, I've got a problem with that as well. That we said earlier that Rus said, I don't need a ksuba. She forewent her ksuba. So unless you say that afterwards she retracted, or Normi said, why don't you take your ksuba? It could be. But I would have said, perhaps similar, but quite slightly different pshat along the same lines, is rather than say the ksuba, it was a Yerusha. Because that we see they did take at the end of Parakadav. They did come back to reclaim the land. And it says that Normi took her land, which other people had taken over, which really belonged to Elimelech, and Rus as well, same thing. She was the heir to the inheritance of Machlon. And therefore they split this field. She was still his heir, because as far as they were concerned, they looked at it as a marriage. Strictly speaking, there was actually nothing binding them together. As far as Machlon was concerned, she was his wife. If you looked in his will, as I said, from the Torah's point of view, you don't need a will for such a thing. If she was the next in line, she was the closest relative to him, then she would have taken it. But perhaps in his will, he wrote, anything I own goes to Rus. Yeah, halachically, of course. Halachically, there was nothing binding there. But according to the way we've learned it up to now. So therefore, it was the portion of the field which belongs to our brother, to Elimelech, Mochara Naomi. Naomi has now sold, right? In other words, note, I presume you could point out, Dafka to our brother Elimelech, because she is the one who inherited it from Elimelech, she has sold it. Now the Malbim points out, it doesn't mean she'd actually sold it. You'll see from the next Pesukim, she hadn't actually sold it. It means she had plans. She's put it up for sale, or she's said to me that she's about to sell it. So therefore, who are we talking about normally? Hashova Miside Moav, who has returned from the fields of Moav. Why does it stress that? I think you could say the same shout as at the end of Parakal, if the Malbim said that with Rus, why it says Hashova Miside Moav, is as if to say, especially, I don't know if you say ksuba, it doesn't work so well, but if you say according to what I'm saying, it fits very nicely, is because it's going with the same theme. Had she not come back from the fields of Moab, these fields wouldn't belong to her. She would have given up the rights. But the very fact of not coming back, everyone would assume she's been Moab, she's foregone the rights to these fields which formerly belonged to Elimelech. So therefore, it stresses the fact that she came back from Moab.
You're saying that's hers because she came back?
Yeah, that's it. So he said she's put it up for sale. I'll come back to that pasuk and show a different pshat once we've done another pasuk or two. Pasuk Dalet, So I said, in other words, I don't want the field to go into the hands of a different, we want it to stay within the family. So I said to her, right, this is where the Malbim says, it could be he's speaking to her, he's now actually speaking, by the way, to the girl, and he's saying, I said to her that I will reveal your ear saying, I said that I would, and I was coming to let you know that she's planning to sell it. And therefore I'm giving you the choice, either acquire the field, literally opposite those who are the dwellers, the ones who are sitting here, and opposite the elders of my people. In other words, they will all be aiding to it. You could do that. And imtik al ga'ol, if you redeem it, then fine. Vim lo yigal, and if he doesn't redeem it, note it's gone into the third person. Right? Well, the Malbim says that's because now he's speaking, going back to what he said to Rus. Sorry, to Normi. Right? He's saying to Normi, and if he doesn't redeem it, then I'll do it, basically. Although it's going to change back again. That's how the Malbim says it. So he's saying, and if he doesn't redeem it, then hagidoli. But now we're going back again. You tell me, it's a command. The Eda'ah, and I will know, ki'inzu losa chodik, oh, there is none other than you to redeem, va'onuchi acharecha, and I am after you, in other words, I'm the next in line, there's no one closer than you to redeem it, va'yeme onuchi egon, and he said, I will redeem it. Now, as we noted, that yig'al is a bit, what's yig'al? So, I was thinking that what you could say is this, what's the Eda'ah and the Eda'ah? The two, you've got a creek sit there, with the hay and without the hay. The truth is, I didn't find very much on it, but I thought you could suggest, based on the I think it was the Rekeach said in Perek Aleph, he said the difference between Ya'as and Ya'aseh, Hashem Imochem Chesed, same thing as here, is he says Ya'as is like a plea, Hashem should do with you. Ya'aseh means he will do. If you want a promise, if you want a nevuah, it's right, a guarantee. So the same thing here goes the other way around. He's saying in the Poshuk Pshat of the Poshuk, the way you read the Poshuk, that's Ve'eda'ah, right? You let me know that you don't want to redeem it, but it's all, and then it's a fact. I will know. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I will know. If you tell me you don't want to redeem it, I will know that I'm the next in line. But here, what he's saying is the deep shot could be like this. V'im lo yigal, he now turns to Hashem. He says to him, imtigal girl. He speaks to the girl, and he says to the girl, if you want to redeem it. Right, that's it. He doesn't have to go on and say, if you don't want to redeem it. He turns to Hashem now, and he says to Hashem, a tefillah. V'im lo yigal. If you want, let it be. Sometimes im is not even an if. We find sometimes the im is when. Right? We find various cases. Rashi Alatero brings it. He's saying, in other words, let it be that he should not redeem it. Hagidoli, and let me know that he dies. He's pleading with Hashem. He's saying, let me know that I can be king Zilos Chodigol. That I'm, even though I know it's Zilos Chod, she says Zilos Chod, according to this, we're fitting it into the two shot and running here, right? In other words, let me know. He's davening to Hashem. Let me be the one who can do this mitzvah of Yibum. Yeah? Let me be the one who can bring this all out to fruition. That's what he's saying. Ve'eda. It's a plea. It's not it's right. It's ve'eda. Let me know. Let me be the one to do this. That explains v'im lo yigal. He's speaking to Hashem. Right? He's speaking third person. If he let him not redeem it, let me do it. But the already at this point, we can build on to something slightly more, which is going to run through the next couple of psukim. Is perhaps even a further pshat goes like this. A further layer goes like this. If we go back to Pasuk Gimel. Vayim el agon, and he said to the Redeemer, now, before we go further, if we remember what the Nesivus, this is the last part of the Nesivus from last Perek. The Nesivus said last Perek that he spoke about the whole thing of the Yibum is not to be understood literally, rather it's the Yibum is to redeem, bring out the Neshama of Machlein. Right, we'll come back to it, what he said about this, because there has to be an element of Bnei Rochel in there, and Machlon was from Ephraim, right, Elimelech was from Ephraim as well as Yehuda, whereas Boaz was only from Yehuda, this we explained in last parak. So now he says this, Vayomer ha'girl, perhaps presuming he's speaking to the girl, Ayi Moshiach, right? He's speaking to the Moshiach, which is coming forth. He doesn't say that, but I'm assuming that's what's going on over here. That's how we're going to explain the next psukim. Who is the girl? In the deeper sense, it's the Moshiach. Chelkas ha-sodeh asher ochinu le-Elimelech. He says, sodeh is always referenced, we find it is, to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? So he says, the Beis HaMikdash, asher ochinu, which belonged to our brother. Who's our brother? It's Hashem. Right? Yofo at Rayosi, Achosi Rayosi, it says, right? Hashem is referred to our sister, our brother. He says, we find in the Medrash that Hashem is our brother, or our sister. So he says, the Beis HaMikdash, which belonged, asher ochinu, which belonged to our brother, le-Elimelech, Elimelech is apparently, as the Medrash says, can refer to Hashem. So, right, this is how he's explaining. Mokra Normi. Normi referring to Klal Yisrael. He brings the Pasuk, and which shows that it's a possible medrash, which shows that normally can refer to Klal Yisrael, the Loshon of Noyam, right? Mochra normally, Klal Yisrael sold it. We sold the Beis HaMikdash to the Goyim by sinning. Hashavim is today Moel. Okay, how that fits in, presumably it means because we went to Moel, we had something to do with Moel, right? Okay. Now continuing, that's how he explains that. I don't think he goes on to the next pasuk, or maybe the end part. Now, va'ani omarti, let's continue with that. Va'ani omarti, so I said, egle oz nechol emor, right, speaking to the Moshiach. In other words, when I say to the Moshiach, I.e. the one who can bring out Moshiach. He's speaking to Tov, in other words, the one who is going to bring out the Neshama of David. He said, I would reveal it to your ear saying, k'nei neget ha'yishm v'neget z'k'nei ami. Now you can understand the literal sentence as much as perform the yivim to bring out the Neshama of David. In tigal go'ol, if not, not. And you'll note in this pasuk how many times it say the word the Loshen Ke'ula.
It's twice,
no?
Three times.
Even more?
Five.
Egle doesn't mean reveal. That means doesn't mean redeem. So the Bali Tosfos say that the truth is they say if you don't count Vim Lo Yigal, because that's not really a positive one. So you've only got four. That's the good of from the four Dalad Malchus. He says if you do count Vim Lo Yigal, it's reference to Gog and Magog, which will be the fifth one. So you see, either way, you see that's what's going on over here. We're talking about the Osilovo, Moshiach coming and finally bringing us out of all these godliness, right? And that's what's really going on. So he's saying to him, look, he's speaking to, if you want the potential Moshiach, right? The one who can bring forth Moshiach. And he's saying to Tov, to Pliny Almoni, either you do it or I'll do it. As we said, it's, if you want, it's a plea to Hashem. Let me be the one who can bring forth this Moshiach.
He wants a mitzvah, yeah, of
Yibum. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, to bring out Moshiach, to be able to redeem Klal Yisrael. So Pasuk Hey. So he said, yeah, no problem, I'll do it. Because he hasn't met all these mentions so far. It's not actually, according to the posh pshat, it's nothing about Yibum. He's just talking about redeeming this the field. With all these deeper pshatim, we've explained that it means bringing out Moshiach. But at this point, he hasn't said, how are you going to bring out Moshiach? Even according to the deeper pshatim, he hasn't said through Rus. He hasn't said, made a mention of Rus. So he said, as long as he hasn't mentioned Rus, Tony Almini says, yeah, no problem, I'll do it. Normally I'm happy to redeem her field, no problem.
A quick question that will reveal a deep lack of knowledge. What does this mean to redeem the field? What is the mice? What's he expecting to do?
To buy it off.
Buy a field from Normie.
Yeah.
Give money and
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
To keep it within the family. She's going to sell it now.
I see.
I mean, that's what the Malbim says. Yeah. The Malbim says, but the Poshup Shout is to keep it within the family. Yeah, what's actually going on here is the field, either you can say a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, as the Nesiva says, so it's something a bit more than that, or it's that the field is the fact that, because the truth is he hasn't got to the point yet, but he's going to say you have to take Rus with it.
Yeah.
And if you take Rus, yeah, it's a package deal. He hasn't said anything. So far he says, yeah, no problem. Now he comes to the next point. He says, by the way, there's one more condition in this. He says, yes, what's that? Said, on the day that you acquire the field from the hands of Normie, note from the hand of Normie, because from Normie, her part of the field is a Kenyan miyad liyad. Normal acquisition. Pay some money to her hand. That's a normal acquisition, formal acquisition for a field. Pay into her hand, and you've acquired her portion of the field. Now he says, by the way, umeis rus hamo'avio. You've also, if you want to buy this field, then you also have to take rus hamo'avio's part. And by the way, she's a Moabite. No, don't come afterwards telling me, oh, I didn't know she was a Moabite. I'm warning you, she did come from Moab. Eishes hamis koniso. Right, you've got to acquire Rus HaMoavio, the wife of the deceased, you have to acquire as well. In other words, Rashi says, Rus is not prepared to give her part of the field unless you marry her. It's a package deal. All or nothing. What's the point of doing Yibum on Rus? Lo'akim Shem Hamis HaNachadosei, in order to establish the name of the deceased on his heritage, on his piece of the land. Now you'll note there, it doesn't say anything about Miyad Rus. Why? Because he's not, the acquisition from Rus is not a normal Kenyan. It's not with miyad liyad by paying money. It's through doing Yibum. You do Yibum, and then the halacha is any land which belonged to the deceased goes through to you, but it doesn't actually belong to you. Strictly speaking, it'll go under the name of the deceased. Right? L'hokim shem amis anachal. This piece of land will go under the name of Machler. Rashi will explain when we come to, he explains in future Pesukim, we'll see later on what does it mean, it's L'hokim Shem Ha'es and L'chadosu, we'll come to that, but that's what he said to it. Now once again here, we got one slide, what's this Konisi and Koniso? So again, presumably Konisi is a tefillah. Let me, I should be the one to acquire it, right? But here, sorry?
Even though it's in the past,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, but Konisa is also, yeah. But the truth is, it could be a Lashon Nevuah as well. It's not just a tefillah, it's Konisi. I am already the one who's going to, it's already been decided that, but you could fit it in like that, with this idea is like this. That the, if you want, he's saying there's like a simon that I was always the one who was going to redeem her. How do I know that? Because going back to the Nesivos again, we're going to have to recap this. The Nesivos said in last Perek, in Perek Gimel, that on the Pasuk where Baal said there's a closer girl than me, somebody who's closer related to me. So what does it mean closer related to me? He says that the Goyel, yes, it has, he says, because she said, you're definitely the Goyel, right? She said to Baal, Ruth said to Baal, you're definitely the Goyel. Why? Why did she assume that? Because you're from the tribe of Yehuda. Yehuda is Malchus. You're the Arf-based and you've got all the qualities you'd expect from a girl. So therefore, you're probably the girl. He said, no, there's one slight problem. One slight thing I'm lacking, and that is I have no connection to Bnei Rachel. I'm not from Yosef, I'm not from Binyamin. Whereas Toiv is. Because he was a brother of Elimelech. He wants to say both from the father and the mother. And therefore, we know that Elimelech he was from Beis Lechem, i.e. Yehuda, and he also had Ephros. Ephros is Ephraim, according to this one pshat. So he had both of these within him. Whereas Boaz, he wanted to suggest, was only related from the father, not from the mother. And therefore he was a pure Yehudi. And that being the case, he said, therefore I'm lacking one thing, because David HaMelech, the Moshiach, has to have an element of Bnei Rachel inside him as well. That's what the Yalkut says. So that being the case, he said, that's why he would be better than me. But he says in the Sivis, but what happened in the end? In the end, Boaz did do it. So where was the element of Bnei Rachel in it? The answer is, because inside Rus was the Nefesh of Machlin, and Machlin had both Ephros and Yehuda. So he was saying like this, that the very fact, I think he says this, I think the Nesiva says this, the very fact that this is all having to come about through Rus HaMoavio, Dafka her, Eshes HaMeis, the wife of the deceased, as I think the Malmur already says, and it's here, he says in one of these psukim, the wife of the deceased. She's not the wife anymore. He's already dead. So how can he be? The answer is no. She's still somewhat connected to him. Right? What's the connection? That Machlin's nefesh, his soul, is still inside her. That's the whole Yibam which is going on here. Even though not in the literal sense, but that's what's going on in this Yibam. So therefore he's saying, the very fact that it's having to happen through Rus, why does it have to happen through Rus? Why does Moshiach have to come through Rus? Right? Why couldn't it be through somebody else? The answer is, because, let's face it, it's either me or you, he's saying to Pliny Amoni. Either it's me or it's you. So why does it have to be through Rus? What's the difference between me and you? What do I not have that you do have that it has to be through Rus? The answer is, I've got no Bnei Rachel inside me, I've got no Yosef, no Bnei Binyamin, I'm not from Binyamin either. So therefore, for me, it has to be through Rus. Because she does have inside her Machlon, who has a connection. You, why would it for you? Why does it have to be Rus? Therefore he's saying, if you want, there's a simon here, that he's already saying, it must be that I'm the one who's going to perform this kinyan. Because the very fact that it's from Rus HaMavia, the wife of the mace, the one who's got Machlin inside her, who's got the connection, who's got this added dimension of both Yehuda and Bnei Rochel, i.e. Ephraim inside her, it must be that I'm the one who's fitting to do this. Because for you, why would you need it to be Rus? Why does it have to be, it would be from Rus? Moshiach could come through anyone, otherwise.
Well, you know, Elimelech was one, there must be others with similar ichus.
But it has to be, obviously the Yibam, even though we're explaining it, it's not to be answered literally, it had to be somebody from that family. And the only one, these were the only two possibilities. There's five possible girding. And that is the other pshat, and I did see somebody says, Be'edor means drops the hay, and Pasuk Dalet is because there's five possible girding. If you look in the Torah, when it talks about girding for a field, there's five possible girding. And one of them is the uncle, one is the son of the uncle. He's saying, and if you don't do it, then there's no other girl other than me. That's why the hay comes to allude to the five girding. But there's only five possibilities, and these were the last two possibilities. Either the uncle of Machlin or the cousin of Machlin. Right, okay, so then we go on to Pasuk Vav. And the Goel, the Redeemer, said, "Lo uchal ligol li. I am not able to redeem for me. What does it mean I can't redeem for me? Because he continues, Pen Ashchis es nachadosi, lest I will have to destroy, lest I will destroy my nachado. Which means, the Malbim says, because if I do this, then the field is not going to belong to me. It's going to be Al Shem Hamis. Just, I'm going to destroy my nachado. Now why is he going to destroy it? So I thought, Pshat is because I'm going to be busy with that and I won't have time only for my field. But I did see, and I think this must go together with it, the Bali Tosfos say because he'd have to sell his property in order to buy it. So he says, I'm prepared to sell my property. If it's the land I'm buying, it's going to be a good, it'll be a good acquisition. It'll be my land. But if it's not even going to be my land, everyone's going to call it the land of Machlin. Then I'm not doing that. I'm not selling my field in order to buy the land. He says, I'm not prepared to do that.
Well, but if Tov has a child with Rus, then his child Tov will inherit the land. Even though it was the name of Machlin or Kilion.
That may be 100%. But he says, at the end of the day, I want my land to be known by my name. I'm not interested in it being belonging to my name. Well, during my lifetime, I want it to be known. The other pshat that the Medrash says is, Pen Ashchis es nachalosi means lest I would destroy my nachalo means my children. Because remember, Ploni Almoni, he didn't know this halacha about Moabim, but in Moabis. He says, you're telling me to go and marry a Moabite. He says, no, I can't do that. Everyone's going to be begun. No one's, when it comes to time for, for my children, you know, people look at my children, they're going to say, oh, we can't be friends with your children. They're all, you know.
Not Jewish.
Exactly. Well, not necessarily the mother, but the heart, your father's married to a Moabite, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to look very good. It's not going to look very good for all my children. So he says, therefore, that's the two pshat to me. You've got Vayomar go, lo chaligoli, I can't do it. Pen Ashchis es nachalosi. Number one, because ligoli, because it's not going to be mine. Since I can't redeem it for me, it should be my land. Pen Ashchis es nachalosi, lest I will destroy my nachal, I'm not prepared to do it. So therefore, ga'alot lo chato es guilosi. Therefore, you redeem my guilo, you go ahead and do it. Kilo uchalit ligo. Because I can't do it. He says it twice. Kilo uchaligo. Because there's two reasons why I can't be go. Says the Malbim. First is, you read it, you have to put the comma, right? First you read it, lo chaligol li, pen ashchis nachalosi. Since I can't redeem it for myself, it's not going to belong to me, lest I will destroy my nachalot, therefore I'm not doing it. That's number one. And then read it again, pen ashchis nachalosi, lest I will destroy my nachalot, i.e. my children, I will give them a bad name, therefore ki lo chaligol, I can't redeem it. That's, again, this is the last precursive in the Megillah, and this will end I think this is the hardest part of this parak, definitely. These few psukim here, is what's going on this ligol li? What's the extra vault there? So it could be like this, that I think it must have been the Bali Tosfos to say the gematria of the word ligoil, yeah, is 70, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
70. So now, I'm not actually sure whether, because I think I saw two things. So it could be that they mean the 70, the years, again, how many times did it say the word, by the way, goel in this pasuk? It's not, again, I didn't. Once again, five, right? So, five. Again, the same thing.
I agree.
Oh, this time, sorry. Fine, so it could be reference to the 70 years of Bavel, but it could be that he's saying, I can't redeem from the 70 nations of the world. Dovid HaMelech is also, yeah.
When they go only 70.
Yeah, ligoil. Yeah. So again, the simple pshat is I can't redeem for myself, as we've said. But in the deeper pshat that we're talking about Moshiach here, right? The goyel, i.e., the girl saying I can't redeem from the 70 nations. Or I think it fits better if you say 70 nations, because then you can look at this part. Ge'ala locha ato esku ilosi. The gematria of that is
the whole phrase.
Okay, you can check it out, but I'll tell you now, I've checked it as well, it's 1,335. Which if you remember from last parak, I don't know where this comes from, but it's exactly the same one who says this, it's Rabbi Lozo Mekar Maizo, who is a Rishon. He said it in the last parak as well, we also had it with one of the, I think, Greek Sivs or Gematria there, is that apparently that is supposed to be the number of years in this goddess. I don't know where that comes from. I don't know what we said it. Same thing last time. You had, again, there was also a gematria there, but it was 70 plus 1,335. Yeah? It was something, because he had the, with the 70. Was it? I think it's on the Terem Yakir. Yeah? Is it that one? I can't remember. It's one of these over here. We had the, yeah, it's on that posik in Perek Gimel Posik Yud Dalet. If you look there, if you work out the gematria there, you'll find I think it was on the Beterem Yakir. Yeah. That was together, yeah. If you add up the Gematria there, it'll come to the same thing. You had 70, birth 70, and plus 1,335. But that's what he said. So I don't know where that comes from, but that's what he says. So I'll take his word for it. So he says, therefore you read this passage like this. Vayoma HaGoel. And this is, I think, going back to the Nesivis, I think. Vayoma HaGoel. And the girl said, Lo uchal le'gol li. I can't do it. Pen ashtis es nachal osi. Now it's turning to Hashem. It's as if the Gerim, I don't know if the, maybe this wasn't the maybe this wasn't the Nesivis. Somebody says this, Pshat, maybe it's Bali. Tosfos says that since I can't do it on my own, the Gerim is saying we can't do it on our own. They dumb to Hashem. Again, it turns back to Hashem. It's Filat Hashem. You should finally bring us to the end of this Golus, this 1,335 years, which is longer for us, but the Maisa, get rid of this Golus, finish it all off. Kilo Chalikol, because we can't do it without you, Hashem. Right? That's finishes that part, and now it should get a bit easier. Pasuk Zayin, now we come to the actual, the Kenyan. V'zeis lefonim b'Yisrael, and this was the way it was always done in Yisrael. Ala ge'ulah, Rashi says that's for a sale. V'ala tmurah means for a swap. Lekayim kol davar, in order to uphold any matter, any acquisition. Sholach ish na'alo, a man would take off his shoe. V'nosan le'rehu, and he would give it to his friend. Doesn't say who would take off these shoes. So machlekes in the Gemara, whether it's the kena or the makna, this is how chalipin works. This is that's the source that we know of it. Is for example, let's say you want to be kena my watch. So how do we do it? It's kena chalipin. That means let's say I lift up your glasses, and with that you're kena the watch. That's one opinion. That's how we passed in. The other opinion is no. You pick up something else of mine, and then you're kena my watch with that. Right? So that's the same thing here. Whose shoe are you picking up here? Who's taking off the shoe so the other one can pick it up? That's the question. It's machlokes in the Gemara. So either way, they would take off the shoe, and Asan Re'eh would give it to his friend. And this was the Chok Mishpah. This was the statute. This was the way it was done in Yisrael.
Well, way of acquiring, yes.
Yeah, this was, yeah. So the Malbim says the word lefonim is different to the word milafonim. Milafonim would mean that was the way it was always done, from then till now. Lefonim means it was once upon a time in the olden days that was the way it was done. In up till now it hasn't been done, and now we're going to bring it back into action. So he says like this. He says that based on the Medrash, originally the way it was done when people wanted to make an acquisition was exactly this: Kinyan Chalipin, they lift up a shoe, whatever it was. He says then they stopped doing it like that. What they used to then do was something called a Ketzotza. What's a Ketzotza? This is in the Medrash. A Ketzotza is when, let's say, somebody would sell a field, so the relatives of the seller would bring along a barrel full of Toyas Vegozim, of parched grain and nuts, and they'd smash the barrel, and the children would all run around gathering up all these delicacies, right? These treats, and they would all say, Niktat Polonim Yahuzosa. So and so has been cut off from his heritage. What pshat is this? I don't know. This is what the Medrash says. And the same thing they would do when somebody married somebody who they shouldn't be. Somebody married out, they assimilated to something. Same thing. They'd bring along these ktotza. They'd bring along this barrel full of ployas vegozim. They'd smash it. All the children would run and get it. And they'd say, the tinuks would all shout out, Ovat polonim mishpachta. So-and-so has been lost from his family. That's what he said.
The smashing may be the lost. Smashing the barrel.
Correct. So what's the ployas vegozim? I'm sure there's, you can think about that. But, so he says like this. In the days of Yehoshua, it was done the first way, right? L'kayim kol davar. So he wants to explain it like this. He says that the Gemara, this is based on the Gemara, which says that the Gemara, as we know, in Yovel, any land which is sold goes back to the seller, right? Now the halacha is, any sale which is not sort of lasting, for example, matan amanos, I give you a matan on condition you give it back to me, you can't do that with kinyan chalipin. So the question is, so how could you acquire land with chalipin? It's going to go back. So the answer is that in the days of Yehoshua, the first Yovel, it didn't go back. That's what the Gemara says. The first Yovel, since no one knew about it, no one really knew about that, so it didn't go back. It was only with the second Yovel that it went back. So therefore, with the first Yovel, in the days of Yehoshua, until the first Yovel, all the kinyonim were done with chalipin. After that, what happened? When they couldn't do it with Chalipin anymore, because after the first Yovel, any sale, from then onwards, any sale would go back in Yovel. It wasn't lasting, therefore it couldn't be done with Chalipin. So they had to do this with the Kinyan Ketzot, so this new form of Kinyan. So he says, the problem is, that's why it's Lefonim. It was something which was done. This Kinyan Chalipin, of lifting up the shoe, and that was the way it used to be done. Nowadays, it's not done like that. But I'm going to have to do it that way over here. Why? Birds can do it that way. The answer is, because had he done a Kinyan Ketzot, what would have happened? Everyone would have said, it's not to acquire the field, it's because he's marrying a Moabite. So it's to say that he's been lost from his family, right? He's assimilating. That's why we're smashing the barrel. So no one would know that I'm acquiring the field. So he says, I have to do it like this. So you're going to ask me, but very nice, you've got excuses why you want to do it like that, but Sofkolsov is going to go back in Yovel. He says, no, that's not a problem, because he's doing it through Yibum. And a field which is acquired through Yibum stays forever. Right? That's what he says. That's the way the Malbim fits this all into the post.
It does belong to
which, the field?
Yes.
It comes together with, yeah, sorry, it'll come together, it's a package deal. And therefore it will stay there forever. That's it. Because it'll go through onto the kid. That's it. Yeah, I mean, anything which, yeah, it will become his, and then it'll go onto the children. It'll be Al Shem Amis, as we'll see. So Posuches, so Vayom HaGoel LeBoaz, so the girl said to Boaz, Kenei Loch. Look, you acquire, in other words, because again, he explains, we're not going to get into the Gemara now, but he, based on a Rashba, he says that the truth is, if the uncle doesn't want to do it, the son of the uncle can't do it either. If the uncle is rich enough, and so he says, how can you do it? He says, Kenei Loch, you just stand in my place. The girl turned to Boaz, and he said, you acquire from me, and others by Ishtok. Now the one of them, which one doesn't say who took off the shoe, somebody took off the shoe, and therefore now Boaz was in the place of the girl. Now we're ready, everything's set for the big moment. Vayomer Boaz la'zakenim posuk tes, and Boaz said to the elders, b'chol ha'om, and to all the people there, Edim atem ayom, you are Edim today, ki konisi es chalash el Elimelech, that I have acquired all that belongs to Elimelech, i.e. the field, he hasn't come to Rus yet, this is right, and all that belonged to Chilion Machlon, from who? Miyad Naomi, from the hand of Naomi. This is a kinyan, right? Anything which just comes through Naomi, that's all a normal kinyan. I've given money. You are Edom to that. Note now, he said Edom Atemayim to that. Now he's going to call back to Edom a second time, and he says Begam Posikyud, and also Es Rus Hamavi or Rus the Moabite, Eishes Machlon. The wife of Machlon, in other words, she's still got Machlon inside her. Konisi li isha, I have acquired for myself as a wife. Lehakim shem halmis al nachaloso, I'm doing this to shem shemayim, in order to establish the name of the deceased on his land, on his heritage, which Rashi explains, how does that work? What's lehakim shem? He says, because every time people see Rus walking in the field, they're going to say, that's the wife of Machlon. Right? When she goes out to work in the field. Apparently that's more than anything else, if she walks in the street. Apparently when she's working in the field, that was more of a thing. So he says, through that, the name of the deceased will not be cut off. Neyim Echov from with his brothers, and Mishar will come out from the gate of his people. And again, Eidim Atem Hayim. Again, you are Eidim to this. The second time. We call them back because there's two kinyonim going on here. The first is Miyad Nomi, a normal acquisition of just money. Miyad Yad, that was the field. And then, the other part of the field comes through that is through Rus, by doing the Yim. But there it doesn't say anything about Miyad, right?
Will he hook him shame my mace because I'll have a son?
No, that doesn't have to be through the son yet. That's not through the son. No, that's what Rashi says.
Because if I marry the widow, you will hook him shame my mace.
Because when she walks out in the field, that's what Rashi says. That people will see her in the field working or something like that. Yeah. So everyone will say, that's the wife of Machlon. Through that, Machlon will be remembered. Yeah. Apparently that somehow brings out a remembrance. Yeah. Okay. So, Posuk Yudalev.
Why can you?
In which Pasuk? In the first one?
In Pasuk Tess.
In Pasuk Tess, because she... Because any lands, any... Who would inherit the lands which belong to Chilion?
It would have gone back to
Normie. It could have gone through Machlon, whichever way, it's going to go to Normie in the end. Or, in other words, the land, doesn't that part of the land doesn't have to come. It's only the land which has... You could ask, what about Machlon? That's the only problem. How's Machlon Miyad Normie? Yeah. So if you say about the Malbim, the truth is, if you say about the Malbim was the Ksuba, then okay, part of the Lamish Machlon. The question is, but why would it have gone to Normie? It should have gone to Rus. She would. I mean, that was the way we explained it earlier. Yeah. That was what the Malbim says. So okay, that's exactly which parts went through Normie, which parts through Rus. Is, yeah. Okay. What Chilion and Machlon? Well, Chilion married first. We said maybe that's why. Chilion married first, the Maisa. And that was what actually, the way the Malbim explained it, in Perikalef, that was where all the problems started. Had Machlon married first, when there wouldn't have been any such major tainus against them. Because Machlon married Rus, she was Tzadikas. But since Chilion married first, he was the younger, Machlon should have objected. And also, how could he have married Rus, being so sure? I don't know why that was written here, but okay.
So this purchase actually going through Nami, because she was the wife
of the actual field, yeah.
Ruth's.
That went through us.
She wasn't really a party to this. Because the land belonged to Naomi, through Elimelech.
Right. But again, you the Hakim Shem Ha-Mis, to get the name of the Mis on it, the deceased, you can say one of two things. Either simply because it's Lahakim Shem Ha-Mis, that has to come through Rus. That has to come through Rus, because she's got Machlin inside her. Or, because again, it was actually hers, because Machlin wrote it in the will. And you can write anyone in the will. It doesn't have to be a relation. So either way, that's the two things here. Normie is the rest of that was properly through Elimelech. Yeah.
The will is not appearing.
Yeah. No, the will would be. The will would be. If you write in a will, you can give it to whoever you want.
Well,
you can give it to an Andrew. You can give it to whoever you want, man. It's your land. Doesn't have to be a relation, as long as it's all done beforehand.
I've not seen entitlement of Ruth to give anything at this point if she wasn't Jewish. It belongs to Naomi.
But Machlin can write it in his will.
But how could he didn't marry with marrying a non-Jewish woman?
I'm saying, obviously, you could say his kavanah is for Lashem Shamayim, but either way, if he didn't regret it, let's say, so then why wouldn't he write to love Rus? Then he loved Rus, so he wrote all his property to Rus.
Strange
to understand, but out there, it has no standing. If it's in a will, it does. If it's in a will, it would. If they weren't actually married without a will, it may be more of a problem. But with
she
a will.
She still had a relationship with him, whether they were married in her love
or not. Yeah, but that I don't know if that would be enough. Without a will, I don't know if it would go to, can't see why it would go to Rus. If it was through a will, it would be.
She was his slave woman, basically.
He was.
Slave can't own anything.
It wasn't a slave. I wouldn't call it a slave.
She was a slave woman. She
no, she wasn't. She wasn't a slave. He treated her as his wife. It had no halachic binding, but soft call soft. He treated her as his wife, and therefore, before he died, he wrote in his will that he wants all his property to go on to us. Yeah? Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayemiru kol ha'om, and all the people, Asher Ashar, who were in the gates, who were standing by the Sanhedrin, they said, Vahazakenim and the elders, they all said, Edim, yes, we are Edim. Yitain Hashem Esoyesha Habo'o El Bisecho, Hashem should give the woman who is coming into your house, K'rochel u'chaleo, like Rochel and Leo. In other words, they're going to give three brachas here. This is the Birkas Chasanim. Number one, they give a bracha that she should be like Rochel, this is a bracha to Rus, that you should be like Rochel and Leo. In other words, even though you've come from Moab, but remember where Rochel and Leah came from. They were the daughters of who? Of Lavan or Arami. Not much better. Probably much worse, in fact, right? And still, Asher Bonu Shetem Es Beis Yisrael, they've still managed to build the house of Israel, right? The house of Israel together. So to you should go along the same lines. Yes, you've come from Moab. Your roots are in Moab, but you've got the same capability. And as Rashi says, note there, Kerochel. Who's speaking? This is all Bnei Yehuda. This is all in Beis Lechem. So this is Bnei Yehuda speaking. And still, they acknowledge at this point that Rochel is the, if you want, the chosen one, she's the, and I'm going to discuss that more if we have time, right at the end. I'm going to explain a pshat in these psukim in the end. But Asi Chayil Be'efrosa, now they turn to Boaz and give him a bracha. That you should make Chayil, as the Malbim has explained before, Chayil means all that you should have all the good qualities. Be'efrosa, Efros means, now we're going back to the posh pshat without Ephraim means Ephros is an expression of Chashivas. In other words, you should, and you should literally call a name in Beis Lechem. In other words, you should get a name in Beis Lechem. So now Ephros refers to his family. His family were a distinguished family. So you should, in other words, you should get a good name. Everyone will say, Boaz, you're from the family of, it gives them a good name. And Ukroshim Beis Lechem, also for your people, you should get a good name for them. Either people will say, Beis Lechem, oh, isn't that where Boaz lives, right? Boaz, right? So that's the bracha they give to him. And then, possibly base, they give a bracha for children. What's that? V'hi v'sechok v'es peretz. Your house should be like the house of peretz. Remember, peretz was where they all came from, right? Peretz was the son of Yehuda, which we'll explain all these psukim, but at the end, we'll finish off going back to these psukim. Ashe yaladah somar Yehuda, that somar gave birth to Yehuda. Now, tomar, even though it was through Yibam, it's still nonetheless, it's still called the children of Yehuda. Peretz was the son of Yehuda. So too, the child who would be born from this Yibam will be a Choshava person, Oivik, to eventually will bring about Yeshan, eventually to David. Min ha-zera asha yitin Hashem l'cho, from the children which Hashem will give to you, min ha-na ro'azir, from this young lady. So, Pasuk Yud Gimel.
So, Shetehem.
Again, why is it in the...
Yeah, we had this before, didn't we?
Yeah.
The men.
Yeah, correct. Why does I did see something at the end. I mean, I've seen people who speak about it. Yeah, presumably it would tie in with that. I mean, it's something to do with the fact that somehow they get the role of somehow the somebody wants to say of the Zohar. But
there's something like that. I don't remember where. So
there's a Chasam Sofer that says with the daughter of Tzolofod, it says that some of the posets in male form is because they were getting Yerusha, so they had the Torah Din Bonin at that point. The Torah writes
So here's what I've seen something in Perikalov. I didn't look here, but they say something that they somehow changed into. Yeah. Okay, so Poskiyud Gimel. By Yikach Boaz es Rus, and Boaz took Rus, Vatihilo Lishan, she was to him as a wife, then Vayobo Edo, and then he slept with her. In other words, the first time, by Yikach Boaz es Rus, it was a Kicho. Because remember, this wasn't a real marriage, it wasn't a real Yibum. So therefore, he says, in other words, Yibum is done straight, there's no need for giving a ring or anything like that, it's done straight through Beal. However, a marriage, even though strictly speaking can be done with Beal, but we don't do such things. I mean, times of the Gomorrah definitely it says that they're ready. They right, that's it. So therefore he chose not to do that. By Yikachbaas, first he married her, Kicha, but he knew she was his wife. Then by Yovel he performed this Beal, the spiritual Yibum. By Yitin Hashem Lohi Royen, and Hashem gave her to be conception. In other words, despite the fact that she's been married for 10 years at least without children, with Machlin. Which, okay, we explained there may have been deep significance in that. There was a message for Machlin there. A message to, you know, 10 years is enough. Now, you know, he didn't take the message. But straight away, here, it seems possibly on the first night, straight away she became pregnant. Because this was, again, Hashem decides exactly when things will happen. Vatira Bain, and she gave birth to her son.
So, Boaz survives to see the birth of the child?
He didn't live much beyond this. Yeah.
He died on the first night.
I read that somewhere. He died straight after.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in Cain, it's interesting. I don't know what the monogamy were about naming a child.
But why didn't he call him? Yeah. Because you'll see. Yeah, he doesn't say he named anyone. I mean, he didn't name the child.
He's not going
to name the child.
They,
yeah.
They didn't name him after.
Yeah, I realize. Yeah.
Nor after Machlin.
Yeah. Correct.
And that's also strange because one of the concepts of
evil
is to
call him Al Shem Amitz. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be the name itself. It's more the Obed, which I mean we'll see. That's the so Posik Dalet. But Tamar Nohan Al Shem Al Nomi, and the women said to Nomi, Baruch Hashem, blessed is Hashem, Asher Hishbis Loch Goel Hayom. In other words, they're saying two things. Baruch Hashem, today you Hashem hasn't sort of left you. Hishbis sort of left you without, right? Goel Hayom. In other words, the bracha today, finally you have got children, right? Otherwise she would have died without children. V'yikoreshim of Yisrael, also a bracha for the future. This is Pasuk Yudalet. His name will be called in Yisrael. Right? There's a bracha for today. Baruch Hashem, finally you've got some simcha in your life. You've suffered a lot. That's it. And v'yikoreshim of Yisrael, a bracha for the future. He should become somebody, a distinguished figure in Yisrael. Pasuk Tesvav. V'hoya loch l'meshiv nefesh. And he should be to you as a meshiv nefesh, which the Malbim says, bring back the nefesh of Machlin. He should be to you as a, if you want a consolation, obviously bring back the nefesh of Machlin.
Why say that to Naomi? You would say that to Rus.
No, because it's her son. She's got no children. So it's saying, this is, we're going to see in the next psukim, it's her son. Yeah. This is Machlin, it's a continuation of Machlin, it's her son. Ulechalkenes sevoseich, and to sustain you in your old age, he'll look after you. How do I know he'll look after you? Maybe he won't. No, because your daughter-in-law who loves you, she gave birth to him, and therefore she will make sure that her son looks after him. Oh, asher hi tevoloch, that she is better, i.e. your daughter is better for you, mishivah bonin than seven sons. That is something which I haven't seen anyone who speaks about. What is, I didn't really look to be honest, but definitely not the mom, what's better than seven sons? Right? I just want to finish. I'm going to come back to this.
It means guarantees that she'll look after you. This son will look after you.
That's it. Yeah.
I have a question about inheritance. Since Boaz has 60 sons, of him many wives, how can you say that the redemption of the land is going to go to this particular person or to that? He made wills. He must have had a bop. He must have had a first. The land was his.
Right.
So the
no, no, but the point isn't that. The point is that when he redeems it, the land is now called Hashem Amitz. What halachically happens with it afterwards, that's not for now. The point is, when you do the Yibam, right, the land now is called Hashem Amitz. That means when the wife of Machlan walks out in the field, people will now say, ah, that's the wife. Through that, Machlan has a remembrance. What happens afterwards, that we're not speaking about. Where it'll go afterwards, it could be it'll go to the son. That's not...
Also the Baba, being one of the 60...
That's not our concern right now. It's more at the point when they do the Yibam. By doing Yibam, the land now becomes, it gets the Shem Amis. That's what we're looking at for the moment. So Pasuk Tesvav, Batikach Naomi, and Naomi took Esayela, the child, but Shiseu Vecheiko, and she placed it in her lap, in her right, Batihilola Emenes, and she was to him as a child rearer, she raised him. Because in other words, this was her child. It was Mach Okthinishna Machlin. And that's how Pasuk Yud Zayin continues. And the neighbors called him Shem Lemo. They gave him a name saying, what was his name? Yulad Beinu Naomi. That was the name they all called him, like a nickname if you want. This is a child who's been born to Naomi. This is her son, who's a continuation of Machlin. But they also gave him a proper name. What's his name? Ovid. Because who Abi Yishai Abi David? Yes, he wasn't called Machlin. I mean, presumably the reason is Machlin, we said, wasn't really, it was Machl, Hashem, right? Chule. I think it was a Lashon of Chulin, right? This is on the contrary. It's even better now. Chulin and Ovid. Ovid is an Ovid Hashem. It's the complete opposite of Chulin. You don't want to call him Chulin because he's the tikkun, if you want, for where Machlin went wrong. Yeah. So Machlin went to Moav, which is the Chulin. Here we've got Ovid. That's David, who's going to take us the other way.
Chulin is like, or profane.
That's it. Lack of kedusha. That's it. And who are Yeshai Abi David? And that's how we qualify it. He's the father of Yeshai Abi David, right? The father of David. So. And finally, Pasuk Yitzches, right through to the end. We'll just read these Pesukim through to the end, and then, as I said, we'll sort of wrap it up. The Eila Teledes Poretz, these are the children of Poretz. Peretz Helides Chetzren, Peretz gave birth to Chetzren. The Chetzren Helides Rom, Chetzren gave birth to Rom, Verom Helides Aminodov, Vaminodov Helides Nachshon, Venachshon Helides Salmo, right? This is the generations. Vesalmon Helides Beaz, Salmon gave birth to Beaz, Salmon is the same as Salmo. Ubayaz, Helides Ovid, and Boaz gave birth to, not his son was Ovid, but Ovid, Helides Yishai, Vishai, Helides David, and finally Yishai gave birth to David. Now before we wrap it up, I'm just gonna, the Ralbag, he goes through various lessons that we can take from this Megillah, right? That we can practically, as I said, we'll just go through these lessons, and then we'll, one message we can take with us through to Shavuos, and with how it connects to Moshiach for the future. There's the first Ralbach, he says, I'll just try and do this for Kitzer. He says there's quite a few lessons. He says lesson number one is don't get too involved with the nations of the world. That's where their mistake started. They assimilated, and because of that, look what happened. He says, even though as I said, the Ralbach learns they had already been Niskaya, he says, but still they hadn't completely uprooted themselves from the ideals of Moab, and therefore it was a problem. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is the process of Geirus. If somebody wants to become a ger or geirus, then you should first try and discourage them, make sure they understand what they're undertaking, see that they're really sincere about it. But if they decide they are, then let them be. Accept them for simcha and treat them as an equal. Then the third one is that if you get a chance to, I don't know, for a business deal or something like this, don't be an utzman, don't be a lazy person. Get up with bizrizus, just like Rus. She was tired, she just come all the way from Moab, but she realized she had the chance, this was the chance she could go to the field and gather produce. She went away straight away. Fourth one is, you see that somebody who comes close to Hashem, they have atzlach in their life. You want a segula, people are always looking for segulas for all sorts of things. The best segula is, serve Hashem, right? That's, come close to Hashem, look what happened. Rus came close to Hashem, look what happens for her. She had David HaMelech, Moshiach. Yeah, and she eventually, David HaMelech, look what happened with her. Fifth lesson is that if somebody gives you a present, but you see they don't really want to give you the present, don't take it. Right? What did Rus say? Rus said, I'm going to go to a field where I can see he wants me to be there. If he doesn't want me to be there, even though I've got every right to be there, because I'm a poor person, right? I'm not going in there otherwise. Again, sixth lesson is that greet everyone. Greet everyone with a nice big smile. That's what Boaz did. Boaz came about Hashem and Mochem, right? Even with the name of Hashem, it can change a person's life, right?
And came to the field.
Yeah. The Master Rosh Hashiva speaks about it. Fataka with the Ome, he speaks about it. But Sfiyas Ome, he says, you see, with the Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 Talmidim. And he got up, you could think at that point, he could say, look, I've done my part, right? He didn't. He got up and was Mar with how many Talmidim? Five. Yeah, it was five Talmidim. But that's the Torah we got nowadays from this part of time. He says a small action, relatively small, just saying good morning can change a person's life. The seventh lesson is that you should look after your property, right? If somebody's doing a job for you, make sure you check they're doing the job properly. Players didn't let his workers, I'm sure they were upright, but he sat there and made sure they did. The lesson in that is, we know it, Hakim Katanim, right? The Bali Musa say, if you earn your money honestly, then obviously Hashem's given it to you. It's to aid you in your taqlis in the world. And therefore you have to make sure. That's it, with the Hakim Katanim. Therefore you have to make sure you look after it. As I say, always say when we have this, is that the Goyim chuck pennies at us, right? And they make fun of the ridicule of the Jews with every penny or whatever. They're not wrong, but they're wrong in as much as why do they think it's so funny? It's because they're not all those honest. They're, for them, a penny here, what difference? If a person's honest, and that's what the Bible says.
Just ask if a penny counts.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of that's it.
The field that Ruth gleaned in, was that the field of Elimelech?
No, it was Boaz. Field of Boaz.
It was Boaz's field.
Yeah, yeah.
So she went to his field.
That's it. Yeah. The eighth lesson is that if you need to go, a woman who needs to go amongst men, make sure she takes other women with her, so that people shouldn't suspect her. That was the advice Rus was given. Don't go amongst the men, at least on your own. But ninth lesson is that if somebody does you a favor and you're not quite sure why they're doing it, then just check out they got the right person, right? Yeah, because right, we saw this with Rus. Right, Bird's being very kind, and she says, well, "What have you seen in me, right, Mom? You know, what have I done for you? Have you got the right person?" He said, yeah, don't worry, I've got the right person. The tenth lesson is that if you want somebody to do you a favor, right, a bit shalom lishmo, in other words, you're looking for a favor, do them a favor, or do their relatives a favor, and then they'll do you a favor, right? Same thing here. Rus normally said, why did Boaz give, why was he so kind? He said, because of the chesed which you did with my family, i.e. Normie. She's related to me. The 11th lesson is, it's just a lesson in nutrition, is that vinegar is very good for people. He writes various things that it helps with, right? Apparently it removes thirst from various other things. He says vinegar, we saw that Rashi already said, it's good for people. He's bringing out all the less practical lessons we could take from this. 12th lesson is that if you give somebody a present, right, you give them a bit of stock or whatever, and you know they're going to need more, but they're going to be embarrassed to come back to ask for it, then give them more than they need to start with. Boaz knew full well Rus is going to feel awkward. He gave her, we saw, more than it says. Lechol v'lispa l'hoisa, right? She had enough with leftovers as well. The 13th lesson is that that if you can attain something, right, something of real worth, but it's going to involve brazenness, it's going to have to, you know, things which you wouldn't otherwise want to do, yeah, still do it. Rus had to do something which was, she obviously felt very uncomfortable doing, going to lie the legs of Boaz, what are people going to think? She knew, she was told by Normie, this is the way you, this is the way. Moshiach's going to come forth from it. But, he says, minimize the amount of assets you have to put into it. She did it in various things. If you look at the Pesukim again, you'll see she tried to minimize it. He learns, for example, she didn't necessarily go to sleep. She was very, very careful that she didn't
do something distasteful.
That's it. She hinted it, she didn't ask him the pair. So it should be minimized, but if you have to, you have to do it.
The most modest way you can.
That's it. The 14th lesson is, if you have to refuse a favor, or at least push it off, then do it in such a way that you're not going to embarrass the person who asked it. He's going to feel a fool for having asked it. Remember, Boaz said to Rus, I can't really do Yibam straight away. But what did he do? He gave her presents and he gave her breakfast, as if to reassure, don't worry, I'm going to do everything I can, because otherwise she's going to feel like a fool, especially if she had to do this thing which was very, as you said, distasteful. She would have felt really like a fool. So he tried to put it in a place to say, really, I'd love to do it, such, and I'm going to try. If everything works out, I will do it. That's the 14th lesson. And finally, 15th and 16th lesson. 15th is the laws of Chalipin we've seen here, how it works. And although, as I said, we're not, from the Pesukim itself, we don't know who's doing the
crying of the land.
That's
Chalipin it. Is a crying
of the land. Yeah, it doesn't have to be land, it could be anything. It's Chalipin. And finally, the 16th lesson is, again, you need 10 people. Although you don't need for the actual marriage, 2 of them is enough, but for the Birkas Chasanim, etc., you need 10 people. And let me finally just finish off, going back to those few Pesukim, and let me just, as I said, Bekitza, sort of running out of time here, but I think we already have, but I'll just try and do Bekitza is like this. What is the connection to going back to the Yibam of Rochel, with Yehuda and Tamar? So, as I said, very, very bekitzer. It's going back to the sale of the brothers. This is mamash, in a nutshell, what we explained at the time. We spent quite a few weeks on this. Is the brothers understood, this is the way we explained it, is the brothers understood that we know that Yosef was like the Neshama. He He was like, if you want the neshama of all the brothers, they were the branches of the tree. The Maharal refers to it as a tree as well. They were like the branches of the tree. They were the body. Now the neshama supplies the, number one, the in a body you've got the hands, everything separate, right? And neshama unites the whole body, right? So therefore Yosef is the one who united all the brothers. Loshon HaMasifa, he made them all one. He was the continuation of Yaakov, right? Yaakov was the middle of Achdus. Right? That was, as I said, there's a lot more which can be said, but this is just in a nutshell. That's, now the brothers thought, they understood that, no, you don't need Yosef, you don't need one person. Well, we can all hold hands and we'll all be one together. You don't need one person who is going to link us all together. Therefore, what do? They sold him into slavery, but for what? For shoes. So the Magic said they put on shoes. What's the idea of the shoes?
Said they sold him for money, and with the money
they bought shoes.
They didn't sell it just for shoes.
No, but they put on the shoes, it says, yeah. But the idea in putting on the shoes was, because the shoe is, if you remember going back to what the Malbim said, and we explained with Yibam and Chalitza, that when you take off the shoe, that's not the way the Malbim explains it. The Malbim explained it, but the idea of taking off the shoes, you release the Neshama. The Neshama can now go and find some other tikkun for itself. Right? They put on the shoe, which was to stop the Neshama of Yosef. They said, we don't need Yosef. We don't need his Neshama to float. That was all that was going on there, right? Now, in the end, they realized the mistake. What happened? So Yehuda went and did Yibam. And that was the tikkun. That was the tikkun for the thing. He did Yibam. What came forth from his Yibam? Two children, Zerach and Peretz. Now, this is an illusion. I'm not saying this is Peshat. This is an illusion. This is based on the Ramban brings for a minor of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akono. Again, you can take a look for yourself there. He says that basically that Zerach is a reference to the sun. Peretz is a reference to the moon. And he says, I David HaMelech. That's why we say in Kiddush Levonah, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. Now, what does that mean? I'd like to suggest that Zerach, because Zerach refers to Yosef. And I said it doesn't mean literally Yosef wasn't born from there. It's exactly what we said all along. The Moshiach ben David Peretz is going to come through, it's going to come from Yehuda. But there has to be an element there of Yosef. Moshiach ben Yosef will precede Moshiach ben David. There has to be an element there. And that's why Zerach is the moon, is the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. Yeah? So to Yehuda needs, there's various mamorim which back up this idea, he needs to draw off the koyach of Yosef. Yosef is the neshama, and that's what he eventually realized. And that's what the Yibam brought about, right? That was the idea in the Zerach and Peretz, as I said, in a nutshell. And that's the idea, Peretz is the moon, right? The same idea, the moon goes, it fluctuates, goes up, down, etc. And eventually, in the future, it says it's going to be as big as the sun. The Bishneim Oris HaGadonim. Because eventually Moshiach ben David will shine through. But until then, it needs some aid from Moshiach ben Yosef. Now, that's what's going on in this posuk as well. He says, Yitein Hashem Esho Esho Habo'o El Bisecho, posuk Yidalev, Kerochel Ucheleo. It has to have the two elements. One of them is Rochel and the other is Leo. The first bit, it has to start with Rochel. There has to be Yosef there to start with. And through them, Asher Bonu Shetem Es Beis Yisrael. Through them, you'll be able to build the Beis Yisrael. I.e., because you've got the two elements here. Machlon, who carries with inside him, carries Bnei Yosef. And also, you've got the pure Yehudi of Be'ez. Then he says, V'aseichayel be'efroso. Efros is Yosef. Right? But eventually the name, what's going to happen to Moshiach ben Yosef? He's going to be killed, it says. So who's going to get the name? Will be Beveis Lochem. That will be David, who primarily is Yehuda. Right? Then we continue into a Pasuk Yud Beis, just to be Beis Chok, Beis Peretz. Again, that's Peretz, because David comes from Peretz. Ashi Yelodos, Omar Yehuda. That's what's going on here. Min HaZera Ashi Yetin Hashem Lecho, Min HaNa'aro HaZeus. What do you mean, Min HaNa'aro HaZeus? Why Dafka this Na'aro? The answer is because within this Na'aro is the Nefesh of Machlin, i.e. Yosef. It couldn't be from anyone else. That's why it had to be from Rus. That's what we said earlier. It had to be from Rus, because Boaz had no Yosef within him. Therefore, it had to be from this woman. Then, straight into Posuk Tesvov, I think, now. You could explain it that, normally going back to what the Nesivis brought earlier, that normally is reference to Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem Asher Hishvis Loch Goel Hayom, that means the Goel Ayiz Moshiach, the thing which will come today, the Yikorish Shemobi Yisrael is the future, that's Moshiach ben David, that's like after. Okay, and he will be the Shemobi Yisrael. But finally, this is what I just want to end off with. Posuk Tesvov, V'hoyo Loch Lameshiv Nefesh, right? Let's go to the end of the passage. What's better than seven sons? And I think the Pshat is this. A son, Ben, comes from the root Bona, is a builder. Right? A father is only a father if there's somebody to build on his ideals, right? A Rebbe is only a Rebbe if he's got Talmidim. A foundation is only a foundation if you've built something on top of it. Just a piece of concrete is not a foundation, right? Any binyan within Teva is always, Dasha speaks about this, is always seven. We know, right? It's always 7 days of the week. 7 years in the Shemitah cycle. Seven lots of seven for the Yovel. And seven lots of seven in the Omer before you come to Shavuos. She said like this, that Dovid HaMelech is going to, or Rus, who's giving birth to Dovid HaMelech, is better than the seven sons. He's better than the seven Bonim, because he's going to go one above that. He's going to come to Shavuos. Dovid HaMelech was born where? On Shavuos. He died on Shavuos as well. He will go one above that. He will come to Shavuos. And that's what it says in this pasuk. V'hayaloch l'meshim nefesh. He will bring back the nefesh ha-machlin. In which form? U'lechalker ha-sevoseich. Ben Shivim Nasevo, we say in the Mishnah. Right? Dovid HaMelech was 70. Right? Ben Shivim Nasevo. He will be Mechalkel. He will build on top of the 70, on top of the building of Teva. He's going to take us up and beyond that. Because your Kala who loves you, she has given birth, she's given birth to somebody, and she herself is better than seven sons. Her, what she has done for you, is better than seven sons. She's given birth to somebody who's one above that, i.e., to somebody who's ready in Shavuot. That's Dovid HaMelech. Dovid HaMelech lived 70 years. That was to complete the years of Adam Arishon, right? Correct? That was to complete, and you could say that's Pshat as well. That's the Hishvis Loch Goel Hayom. That's the Goel Hayom, is finally the day of Hashem. The day of Hashem is 1,000 years. With Adam, it fell 70 years short. He's now completed that day. And therefore, the Yikori Shema B'Yisrael, it's ready for the future
Goel. Dovid HaMelech is like perfection.
That's it. That's it. And that's why we finish off Eilat told us Poretz, right? We that's where it all starts from. It starts from Peretz, the original Yibum, and that will take us through to Shavuos. Because on Shavuos, that's when Dovid HaMelech was born. That's the day when he died. He has no birthday. He has no death day. Shavuos is not a fixed day. Right? The Moshe Shapiro points this out. It's 4th, 5th, or 6th, right? Depending on when it's Chosei, yeah, how they all...
Even without that, it's not Kovur. So Shavuot is just 50 days
old. Exactly. It's the same idea. That's exactly it, right? So it doesn't, and the answer is because Dovid HaMelech lived above the confines of time. He came from Moab. His nefesh was trapped, if you want, within Moab through this year, but it was released. And that was the journey which was culminated eventually with the birth of, as we said, Peretz, all the way through to Oved. And it was started by Yehuda with the Maaseh with Tamar, and it was completed with the birth of Dovid HaMelech, and the final stage will be Moshiach ben Dovid.